Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. I'm just doing the damn thing. I'm just doing the damn thing. Giving a fuck and doing the damn thing. I'm already on one. I'm Shirley Shepherd, your crazy host of Looking for My Give a Fuck, you know. Looking for My Give a Fuck, you know. Looking for My Give a Fuck. 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 Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. There's so much stuff to talk about today. So yes, I got to play the intro again and again and again, but just one more game. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. I'm just doing the damn thing. I'm just doing the damn thing. Giving a fuck and doing the damn thing. I'm already on one. I'm Shirley Shepherd, your crazy host of Looking for My Give a Fuck, you know. Looking for My Give a Fuck, you know. Looking for My Give a Fuck. 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 Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Okay, I'm back. Yay! Yes, yes. Oh gosh, you guys. Hi, there's so much, there's so much, there's so much. I even wrote some things down. How you doing? What day is it? What day is it? Woohoo! See, my brother is so funny. My brother's going to have more material to do my next, because he does my intro for me. He mixes it and all that. And so, but he pulls stuff out of my shows. He's going to have plenty stuff to pull out of my next set of whatever, opening or closing. Anyway, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. I want to give a special good morning and sending angels love, healing and all that to my friend T. I will be talking to her after the show, but I just want to make sure she's okay. She's one of my besties. And speaking of that, every day, every show, I go back to what I've learned and how I put it into play today and how my life has changed. In that, I just mentioned T at the top of this show. I want you guys to go back. Remember when I talked about my friend, Jay King, a very close friend of mine, who indicated to me when I was between jobs that the most important thing I needed to do was make connections. And he said to me, two years ago now, if I'm the only person you can call when you need a job referral or looking for a job, then you for 35 years have not made proper connections. Well, I immediately told that nigga where to go, how to get there, when to come back, and how to go again, and do not pass go. But I took his advice. So the job right after that was in this office. We don't name the firm.
Hello, can anyone hear me? This is my show, and I just don't think it's working. Oh my gosh.
Just now you came.
Okay, so I'm calling from my cell phone. So something went wrong with my thingamajig. Okay, so I'm doing the show right now. You can hear me pretty okay or enough.
Yeah, I can hear you. Let me go back and see if I can hear you on Blog Talk. Hold on. Okay.
Okay, but you can hear me on it.
Say something on, say something again.
Good morning. Hi, this is Shirley trying to figure out what the heck's going on.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I can. Well, let me hang up.
Well,
I'll call back. and I'll text you because I want to see if I can hear you from Blog Talk because I couldn't hear you from Blog Talk either.
Yeah. So now you're hearing me from what, the cell phone?
My cell phone, but let me hang up and I'll call you right back.
Okay. So what we're going to do is figure out what's going on. It could be my headphones, and that's fine. Things like this happen. I don't know. I think I plugged my headphones in, and I thought they were working, and maybe they weren't. The worst-case scenario is that once we figure out what's going on, I'm going to reschedule the show. I've only scheduled for 60 minutes, so I can reschedule. I think I have another 30 minutes, and I'll do that. And then we'll see what's going on next time so that I don't necessarily have this problem. So like I said, right now I'm calling in as a guest, and my host stuff is not working. That is the weirdest thing. But shit happens. Okay. So what are we trying to do now? Like I said, Mary's okay. She's saying it's good. That's great. That's fine. I'm sorry this happened. Again, I wish my listeners would have, the people that listen to me would have told me earlier. I'm not sure. Mary, were you able to hear anything at all? Just send me a text. Anything at all. I think what I want to do, because this is just such a messed up situation, is, hold on. Hi, could you hear me at all?
So the only thing I heard, I guess, when you called as a guest from your phone, because obviously you're not going to hang up as the host because then you'll end your whole show. But so I could hear you fine online, and I could hear you fine now on the phone. So you're good now.
Okay. All right. So let me just go ahead and do the 27 minutes. It's a shame because I had a great show. That kind of bothers me. I'm going to figure out what's going on. But the worst case scenario is I have another 30 minutes that I can clock for today. And what I'll do is just call in again from my phone until I find out what's going on with my headset. So thank you, Mary, for taking the time to let me know something was going on. Well, the most important part of what I wanted to share today was probably not those other things anyway. It was about my son. I think last week I told you guys that my son has shared with me on many occasions that he wasn't necessarily happy with the fact I didn't spend as much time with him as I could have. And I mentioned that I could not change that for reasons that I was going to school, I was taking him to school, I was working full time, and maybe, yes, he needed a little more time, but he also was spent a lot of time with my family, my sister, who's like his second mother, if not first, depending on the day, and the other people in my family. So I can't take that back, and nor would I take that back, and nor am I sorry about that. As a result of him believing he did a lot of time, son has become a hell of a man, a hell of a young man. There have been a couple of times in my life that I have looked at him in the eye, and it was a mother-son moment, and you can't explain it. You can't simply say, where it comes from or how it comes or any of that crap. It's just a moment. It's just a spiritual exchange between a parent and a child, and one was, of course, birth. But the other one was when he was getting married and we both were silently in this room together because that's the way, the universe has it. And without words, it was, I don't know what we said without words, but it was most loving without words and with minor tears, right? And the other thing was on Wednesday, he came to the house. I was working from home and not feeling as well as I should be. And he was like, Mom, do you have long haul COVID, Mr. Paramedic Studier, right? And I'm like, no, dude, I'm fine. Anyway, there was a look, and I couldn't quite figure it out. It wasn't a sad thing. It was just, it was that second moment. He is going to be a father, and he came to the house. I told him to come to the house because he finished paramedic school, the UCLA paramedic school, and he got his diploma, and it was a physical one. So I told him to come and pick it up. I didn't know what it was. And then he said, oh, well, you and Grandma can frame it. And it's really cool. And it was a moment where I didn't say anything smart. I wasn't arguing. It was a moment of something. I know he wanted to say something, but he couldn't quite get it out. And I wanted to say something, but I couldn't get it out, and I don't know what we were trying to say, but we couldn't get it out. Let's just put it that way. It's pretty kind of funny. We just could not get it out. So with that, the next
day, he calls and says, Mom, you know, this is late notice, but they're having a ceremony for our graduation as paramedics. I think it was Friday, I do believe. And I said, Quan, I'm just too sick. That day was a rough day. I couldn't breathe, couldn't do anything. It was hard. And I said, Quan, I just can't. You know, I really wish I could, but I can't. But, you know, I love you, and I'm, you know, I'm so proud of you. And he said, Mom, you know, I really don't know what to say. And there's a couple of times in my life where my son has come to me saying, you know, I don't know what to say. And I said, baby, speak from your heart. You came into this world during the earthquake, San Francisco earthquake, I think it was the World Series. You were hitting them out the park and shaking the world while you were doing it, right? Because I do. I was in labor going, watching, because I was with men, just for the record, in the labor, you know, in labor, they watching the baseball game. Ain't nobody thinking about me at that time. You see? No, just joking. And all of a sudden the screen starts to shake, and he was born shortly thereafter. And he used that theme a lot to get into college, and he really used the theme as he entered his professional career as a firefighter. It starts way before it finishes, you know what I mean? And so it started with his purpose, his life, his theme. And he used that a little bit because it was awesome. And he has been a shaker and mover. Ooh, Lord, real badass, just for the record. So I said, I can't come, and I really wish I could come, because normally I'd come because I need to be there. I need to be that parent. I need to beat out everyone else. But this time, I said, your wife and your daughter-to-be will be there. And those are the most important people right now. And I guess why I'm sharing that is I'm learning that I'm his mother, but I'm not going to always have to be that shine and whole purpose. You know what I mean? It's like I didn't have to be there. That's my baby. But don't you get it twisted. When I got a copy of his speech, I didn't share it with everybody. We'll talk about that in a second. I'm just talking about the mother-daughter part. Excuse me, the mother-son. Probably mother, daughter, doesn't matter. The connection, the things that they can't write books about because there's no words for it, but it's real. And I don't even have the words. I'm just giving you the facts around the feelings. I wish I could explain it. I wish I could bottle it. Because so many parents would want to give this to their kid. It's this, I'm proud, I'm releasing, and I'm accepting your wife in my shoes and your baby. Mother-in-laws, I know, the mother-in-laws of the men that I thought I was going to marry, they thought they were going to marry me, were like, mm-mm, I don't like that girl. No, they didn't. They loved me. Everyone loved me. But back to the reality. It was like, wow. So the next morning, I said, I'm proud of you. You did it. I'm amazed by you. I didn't expect much because my son and I have had this weirdness. He doesn't include me in much. I mean, even when he graduated from college, he told me the morning of. But I got there, shoot. But this time I got a notification from, I got a text from his wife saying, we're recording everything. And no, he sent me a copy of the program. And I was like, oh, my God, my baby's name there, because he's the speaker, you know, the class speaker. I'm like, oh, my God, you know, so excited. Like, that's why he said he was scared, you know, he didn't know what he was going to speak on. And I said, you know, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And this is important that I'm sharing with telling him he'll be fine. And I'm going to tell you how, as parents, what we instill, we must stand. What we instill, we must stand. It's an important factor because I have fallen. Let's go back. So my son, I said, oh, you know, she said, I'm getting fat. You know, and I'm like, oh, my God. So she sent me the picture of the baby in the stomach, her stomach. Oh, ooh, look what I started. I done started some shit, and she's going to be a girl. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But then it depends on how you take it. It's like, God, is this creation? Incredible.
And I'm feeling the incredibleness of both her mother, who is in heaven and very close by, and me, it's, you know, my son watching this. They don't write books about how you deal with this. We need some more books. So later on she said, oh, my God, Shirley, she sends me a text. He just won the award of excellence in the top of the class. It was less than a percentage apart out of 47 men and women. Well, I cried. That was the second award, you know, on the brochure. I didn't look at it. And there's another award, then he has to get up and speak. So I think Quan said, well, I should have known something if I was going to be the class speaker. But you never know in this world, you know, this paramedic school is not like the other universities, I guess, he thought. And I put my head down and I cried. I cried. And I said, I did it. I did it. I was able to take all the things that hindered me and to put them aside to give him the pathway to believe and to do what he wanted to do. No family hang-ups, no this and that, no Billy Bob here. No, it was just I gave him the form and the belief that he is sitting next to God, left, right, next to Jesus. I don't know. My son really does really love himself. And that's okay in this goddamn world. He also knows the rules about life. You cannot be a firefighter or a paramedic without understanding the importance of loving yourself and the importance to have empathy of those around you and those you care for. I can't say I know a lot of people like that. I know a lot of narcissistic sons of bitches that want to kill you. Oh, different story. Different moment. Anyway. And then I heard him speak. When my son used to talk, he would talk fast, and I'm like, what are you saying? You know, very similar to me. I'll start talking fast. Our brain starts going really fast, and he's practicing his breathing. He spoke so well. Even he was articulate. He didn't mispronounce the words. I'd be making up words if I had to do some stuff like that. And these were good. No, you know. He knew his audience. He knew when to throw in that laughter. He told me that I had to be my heels. I was nervous, Mom, at first, and I just had to throw in myself. I didn't see the nervousness or the adjustment. And I was proud because the audience, because his fiance was, his wife, sorry, was sitting in the back, and so she filmed it. They were all white people. Let me tell you something. My son's name is Quan Tran, whether he got a little black in him or not. Those Asians want to be on top. They use no excuse. Now, black folks, yeah, they kick us down too. But my son knows he's black, and they probably know he's black, too. But that Asian part of him, you know, the Asians always have the 4.0s and shit. But this time we had an Asian and a black man up there who is going to be able to share with others because he's so unselfish with how he got there. And he's going to be able to do that because I had a best friend, I still do, and her brother fire inspector, and I've known him for 100 years, that walked my son through the rules of the unspoken rules of being a firefighter and then a paramedic. And then he will soon be a fire inspector and not destroy his knees because he didn't want to be on that truck for 10 years. See, those are secrets we don't usually get. We got them. Not to mention Quan being Vietnamese and black. He marked off both of the race thing, you know how they have it. They'll never hire another black person. I'm just joking. So that happened. And I shared it. And then I set my little ass down. And this is where it comes to what I give out I forgot. I told my son he could do everything. He could walk, not necessarily on water, but he can walk through the water to the other side. I told him when he wanted something how to ask me for it in a manner to which I could not refuse unless I wanted to, and parenting powered. You know, that's just how it works. He was around men that taught him how to be a man. You know, teaching a man how to be a man is not very easy, because most men don't know how to be a man, per se. But they know how to stay alive. Then he had a father that said, okay, I taught you how to stay alive. Let me tell you what now the responsibility of a man, because I've been here for you. There's levels of being a man in this world. So for every woman who thinks it's okay not to let their son see their father because of some money, you are missing out. My baby daddy could have given me thousands and thousands of dollars and never saw my son. I would never have been able to create my son as he is now. It is imperative. It is imperative that men, especially in this world, we don't know as women, as mothers, what is out there. We tell our kids not to go down the dark hall. We tell our kids not to do this. But a man, you can put color on it if you want to, I add that too. They have to, because that's what life is as a man. They don't go to Macy's and shop all day. Shit, they're at the bar or they're playing pool or baseball, basketball. It's a whole different trying to get a point over there compared to trying to get the best, you know, deal over here. Because we'd be fighting those stores. You know, women, we'd be serious. Okay. So in creating a man is a village. Some of us are unfortunate that our husbands may not participate, or boyfriends or baby daddies. Or they may not be alive. But that doesn't mean you stop fighting for someone to be in their lives. And let me also tell you something. The perfect man does not have to step in. I'll be honest with you. A drug dealer, I know, just hear me out. A pimp, just hear me out. A preacher, pretty much the same, just hear me out. An athlete, please hear me out. Because I don't care what they are, one thing most men who have stepped into whatever they're going to do is their consistency to do it. I don't change up on that. Ain't nobody going to tell me nothing. Now, you might not think that's a good lesson. It's a great lesson, because when I played basketball, when Quan played basketball, we didn't like the team. He couldn't play. He stood his ground. Drug dealers, I know you're like, oh, that's not right. No, I don't agree with any of that. But the principle of making money is turning your love. I mean, obviously, they could be in other, you know, professions, but they ain't dumb. Watch and the chances they take and how they have to use their instincts to be alive and how they shut down their consciousness when they're selling it. Life for men are like that. Right? An athlete. Oh, yeah, I want him to mentor. No, an athlete, the best athlete in the world, in my opinion, that mentored my son was Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant has a big part of my son's life. I put my son on this plenty of basketball games with the YMCA. And one team, he was very short. They were much older, maybe like third and fourth graders. He was like a second grade, third grade. I can't quite remember. It was an advanced team. And we paid our $60. $60 is a very important dollar amount to me, because at times I didn't have $60. And sometimes his dad and I would share, you know, paying fees. But, I mean, $60 I should have had. That should tell you that I wasn't really good with money. So I make sure we got that $60. But anyway, we got on this one team that was coached by the head of the YMCA basketball thingamajig, Reggie, and my son would pay like 2 minutes at the end of the day. I was like, oh, okay, see, Kwani, mama told you that you don't have to quit, but nigga, you're not playing, this is embarrassing, and da da da. Then third or fourth grade, he said, Mom, I'm learning. What the fuck are you talking about? You're learning. You out there for 2 minutes. He said, I'm learning the game of basketball. I'm learning the fundamental skills. I'm learning basketball as I sit here.
I don't necessarily learn when I'm playing. I learn the game by watching. There have been a lot of times in my son's life when he would say stuff like that, and I'd just be like, you know, where's this little motherfucker come from? Because I'm ready to fight the coach. I didn't understand. He understood the fundamentals. The reason my son became so good in basketball wasn't because he was 7 foot, not at all, 5'5" maybe. He knew the fundamentals. Kobe Bryant knew the fundamentals. I think the most recent one is that Curry guy. He knows the fundamentals. He knows what to do, boom, and hit. And hit, you know, the fundamentals. One time my son played a basketball team. These little white boys' hair was bouncing up and down from Santa Barbara. They were just so white. I've never seen such white. They had bowl, like haircuts, like when you put a bowl on a kid's hair, on their head, and you cut around the bowl, and their hair was flopping, you know, we were laughing at them and shit. 1, 2, 3, pass, shoot. 1, 2, 3, pass, shoot. They whooped us so bad it was embarrassing. And that was before Quan. He said, oh, no, they knew the fundamentals. And Quan was going to make sure he knew the fundamentals. So even when I'm like, Quan, no, I don't want my baby sitting here. He's learning something that as a woman, I wouldn't have known. But I do talk to my kids, you know. But I would not have known how important sitting was to learning when it comes to men. So when he watches sports and all that stuff, he watches fundamental of the game. And the people that play the fundamentals of the game and who practice it become great, and like he has said, like a Kobe Bryant. Now, there's some others that are just great shooters. I can't think of it. Air Jordan, Michael Jordan, whatever. That's all different. We're talking about fundamentals. So athletes can teach you fundamentals, which teach you what, everyone? Discipline. What teaches you what? Trust. What teaches you what? Teamwork. What teaches you what? You are of a team. What teaches you what? You are only as good as the weakest link, if there is one. You pick the bottom up to bring them to where you are, so you are top. Another thing I'll add to that is when my son, I think I shared this with you guys, he was in high school, a kid came from Texas, the kid was better than my son, and my son, it took my son's position. I wanted to cuss out the coach and kill up everybody at, you know, Granada Hills High School. My son said, you're a hater. I'm like, you're damn straight. First of all, this nigga come from Texas, got all these black people from Texas, and that nigga is good. My son said, he's better than me. I said, what did you say? You're going to stop hating. He's better than me. I'm going to get to know him. If no one would talk to this kid, he had long arms and shoot from fucking anywhere. He could shoot from the fucking bathroom and make a basket. Better than me. And I'm going to become a really good friend with him because he's going to make me be a better basketball player that I can be. But I just like him because he's good and he's disciplined. And I'm not afraid of being around people that are better than I am. I mean, not that better, you know. They're still friends today. His friend plays professional overseas. What did I learn from my son? Nothing. It's all the things he learned from me. Now, hear me out. And as I've gotten older, I became afraid of. I became afraid to be the best I can be. I've allowed failures to define myself, my worth. I've allowed jealousy and envy to destroy possibly relationships with friends, girlfriends, family. Everything I gave, I felt. We get older, life gets scary. Does my son have the right now that he figured it out and he's doing the thing and he's in his 30s and life's going to get a little crazier and crazier? Does he have the right to give up? No. And neither did I. And neither do I. And all of us. Get back. Succeed to yourself. I think my life coach helps me with that a lot. But when I look at him, it is, my God, that's English. All those hard things, all those fears, all those things. I brought him into this world and I took off the veil of fear. And I allowed him to be all he could possibly be. And as I gave him everything, and as I pushed him, and at the time I was pushing him, I had it in me too. And it's not until I saw my son at that podium being number one. So what I've been there too. Number one, well-spoken podium. I'm afraid to say your children are a reflection of some of the things you've instilled in them, some of the things that were instilled by others, the environment, the own personal characteristics and preservations. And, you know, when kids are young, they look and say, I want to be a firefighter. I want to be like my mom. I want to be like my dad. And today I want to say, I want to be like my son. Because I am my son. But it's time for me to feed myself again. I may work at places where every day I got to fuel up, where when I was younger, you only have to, you know, get some gasoline once or twice a month in your car. Every day I have to fuel because I'm getting older. But I'm not going to give up. I'm going to get this engine moving again. Just because I did a good job for my son doesn't mean that I can fail myself. And failing myself with my last 10 minutes is when I don't push far enough to reach my goals because I'm afraid. And I have been. And anytime I get afraid or anytime any of you get afraid, look at my son's, look at the video. Not like, oh, Shirley's so great. No, just inspiration. His daddy was a gang member who has turned his life around, has worked with the state for over 25 years. His mother, well, great. But we were all a little different. That's not going to the family. Woo! Some crazy folks there too. But you know them. To continue. When you stop growing, you might not stop breathing, but you stop breathing. You guys, I only have 30 minutes, and I guess that's all I needed to tell this great story about love and life, full circle, and how I got to get out that circle and get back on my own road. They say that when the children leave your home, it's the nesting, you know, what do? It's hard. It's hard to figure it out. But only when you see the greatness in your child, no matter where they are in life, is when you can begin to live your life and utilize those tools to push you through. The nesting fear is when your kids leave. Well, you know what? I'm not nesting anymore. I'm about to build me a birdhouse. Okay, everyone. I apologize for the crazy show. I will note that the show starts 30 minutes in. Until then, you guys have a great, 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 great week and continue going places to make happy. I don't know, I just like that. Continue making happy. Continue making happy. Until then, you guys have a great week and take care of yourselves.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd. Welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. I'm just doing the damn thing. Giving a fuck and doing the damn thing. I'm already on one. I'm Shirley Shepherd, your crazy host of Looking for My Give a Fuck. You know, of Looking for My Give a Fuck. You know, Looking for My Give a Fuck. 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 Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Shirley Shepherd.